You turn in your Bibles to our scripture reading this morning. It's from Luke chapter 1, verses 57 through 80. Now the time had come for Elizabeth to give birth, and she gave birth to a son. Her neighbors and her relatives heard that the Lord had displayed his great mercy towards her, and they were rejoicing with her. And it happened that on the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to call him Zacharias after his father. But his mother answered and said, "No, indeed, but he shall be called John." And they said to her, "There is no one among your relatives who is called by that name." And they made signs to his father as to what he wanted him called. He asked for a tablet and wrote as follows, "His name is John." And they were all astonished. And at once his mouth was opened and his tongue loosed, and began to speak in praise of God. Fear came on all those living around them. And all these matters were being talked about in the hill country of Judea. All who heard him kept them in mind, saying, "What then will this child turn out to be?" For the hand of the Lord was certainly with him. And his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited us and accomplished redemption for his people. And he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of David his servant. As he spoke by the mouths of his holy prophets from old, salvation from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show mercy towards our fathers and to remember his holy covenant, the oath which he swore to Abraham our father, to grant us that we, being rescued from the hand of our enemies, might serve him without fear, in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercies of our God, with which the sunrise from on high will visit us, to shine upon those who sit in darkness and in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." And the child continued to grow and to become strong in the spirit, and he lived in the deserts until the day of his public appearance to Israel. Bless this, the hearing and reading of God's word. First of all, I need to apologize to fathers and grandfathers who were filming that as I jumped in their way. And I also have to admit, because this is where experience comes in, that you always have the kids sing and put something between them and the message, because the kids really do often outshine what is given up here. And sometimes when they do as well as they did today, it's really hard to follow that up. So blessings, and thank you very much for that. Enjoyed it immensely. And yes, brothers and sisters, it's Christmas week. Something we've been working up to, hopefully taking our time and enjoying the season. Our houses are probably all decked out. We have the trees, as the kids have already dropped dimes. The presents are there, and they're looking forward to what's going on. Houses decorated beautifully. Been attending church. Been hearing the word of God. Hopefully your shopping is done. Hopefully. We've been listening to Christmas music as it pops up more and more on the radios. And all of this is a really, really, really wonderful time of the year. We should look forward into participating in everything that goes on all the way through this week. The time with family and friends, the parties, the sharing, the laughter. And I have to admit, after the last couple of years, it has been a joy to be able to drive around the neighborhoods in the evening and see all the lights. Because I do remember commenting at this time of the year last year, seems nobody really was in a frame of mind to decorate their houses. And I can't say that this year, because you drive down 528, you drive through the neighborhoods, it is really, really beautiful. But while we're getting caught up with the Christmas presents and events, one of the things that we cannot allow to happen is to forget what Christmas season is all about. It's important to remember that a child was brought to us by God, born of a virgin. A child who would grow into a sacrifice to free us from Satan's sin, to grant us eternal salvation. And as we sing and as we decorate, as we hang around, we can never lose sight of that is what this season is really about. Because if we fail to remember that our celebration is for the Messiah's birth, we have failed not only ourselves, but we have failed our God. And I don't want to make that statement and put a damper on the fashion, on any fashion of what's going on now. It is wonderful to see people having fun again, sharing time with one another, giving presents. And to be honest with the children, as we said before, giving Christmas presents is not really high on my list of things to do. In fact, in an earlier part of my lifetime, I would upset the children of the congregation that when I would say, I really wish we'd have Christmas with no Christmas presents. You can imagine how well that went over. It's like telling people I don't celebrate Valentine's Day because it's a shill. And I've had ladies of the church severely reprimand me for that one. But as we discussed with the kids, the Christmas presents are nice. They're given because mom and dad love us, or we love somebody else, or I think as it says, they must love us. Again, and I only get to say this once a year, really the Christmas presents that are been spread so much were a part of God's plan. It was to provide the wherewithal to live in Egypt when Herod was trying to kill the children. And as I told the kids earlier, our celebration of Christmas did not happen for a couple years after the establishment of the church. It was not considered, Christ's birth was not considered something to get really, really, really happy and joyful about. He was born. The important part was Easter, when he had fulfilled his mission. He had died for our sins. Now, believe it or not, this is going to lead me all right back to what we read in Luke this morning. And we've been studying over the last 4 weeks the facts that have led up. And if you've noticed, it came in phases. First comes John the Baptist and the notification of Elizabeth getting pregnant. And then Mary finds out she's going to get pregnant. And then she goes and visited Elizabeth, and they celebrated together, and now John is actually being born. There is a pattern here in everything that God does, and it's very, very distinct. The annunciations, the faith of the people involved, the fulfillment of God's plan, and God's plan has been being fulfilled since Genesis 1:1. God has a plan for us, just as God had a plan for Zacharias and Elizabeth and Mary and Joseph and John. And he's bringing all that plan together at this time, because it marks the beginning of salvation for the entire world. Nothing is left to chance. Everything that God has said will happen is happening. Now, as I said, if we continue to go back to the beginning of chapter 1 of Luke, the story is not beginning with Jesus, but with the foretelling of birth of John the Baptist and the events that took place. And if we carefully read chapter 1, we should immediately see that the birth of Christ leads to the cross. The cross leads to our salvation, and that is the true reason we celebrate Christmas today. Now, in the midst of all this, I'm really happy they left that up. For God so loved the world, he gave his Son. This is the beginning. The similarity in the announcements, both made by the angel Gabriel. The answering of prayers for Zacharias, that he was praying for the Messiah to come, of Zacharias and Elizabeth, who had asked God to give them a child. Not really, I suspect, expecting because of their advanced age it was going to happen. Mary finding out she is going to be the mother of the Messiah and didn't bat an eyelash and says, "Your will be done." The Holy Spirit working in everything that is going on right here. It is central to everything that we have read and preached about for the last 4 weeks. And I will go back again. The reason we celebrate Christmas is to celebrate God's will for us being fulfilled. His plan to bring all the people of all the nations to him. And it begins with the birth of John. And in our reading this morning, we saw that when John is born, everybody is happy. They've known Elizabeth was barren. They're there to celebrate with them. They're having a wonderful time. They're thanking God for the blessing he's given them. And as tradition has it, here comes the baby. What are you going to name him? You're going to name him Zacharias, right? You're going to name him after God, after his dad. And Elizabeth says, "No." And they're all going, His name is going to be John. And the people are going, "You don't have any relatives named John. What in the world are you doing?" Because tradition is you name the child after a family member. Somebody that was important. And there were no Johns hanging around. So naturally, not believing mom, they turned to dad. And dad says his name is John. And it's a shocking statement. Now, that's all really well and cool, but what happens next is the real miracle, because as soon as he writes down his name is John, Gabriel's promise is kept. Zacharias begins talking. Now, I have to admit, after 9 months of not talking, I'd really wonder what my first words would be. Hopefully, I will never find out. I'm not sure Pam could handle 9 months of peace and quiet. Now, are Zacharias' first words of, "Hey, honey, I love you"? Yes, boy, that was rough. "Look, we have a boy." No, the first words out of Zacharias' mouth is the fact that he thanks God for everything God has done for the people of Israel. Not him, not his family, not the gift of son, but he blesses God for all that God has done for the Jewish people. He thanks God for salvation and deliverance and mercy, for keeping all of his promises to the people of Israel, even though they didn't deserve it. For remembering the covenants that had protected those people that did serve God faithfully. And that's beautiful. God was the first thing on his mind out of his mouth. It was, "Praise God for what you have done for the people of Israel." But next out of his mouth is the addressing of John. And he tells him with people listening that what's going to happen in John's life. "And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go on before the Lord to prepare his way." John is the fulfillment of God's promise made through the prophets Malachi and Isaiah. Malachi 3:1 tells us, "Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will clear the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of God." I'm sorry, the Lord of hosts. The Lord you have been praying for is coming. And in Isaiah 43, a voice is calling, "Clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness, make smooth in the desert a highway for God." And later on, even Jesus reaffirms the mission of John the Baptist. In Matthew 11:10, "There is one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, one who will prepare your way before you.'" And how is John going to prepare the people? Very simply, John is going to give his people the knowledge of salvation by the forgiveness for their sins. There's going to be a major change in how God deals with sin. It's not going to be a blood sacrifice anymore after Easter. God is promising that with Christ will come the forgiveness and freedom that the people have been looking for and expecting all their lives. It's going to come in the new way. The faithful will no longer have to be taught over and over again how to come to know the Lord. The Lord will be known because the sins of the people have been forgiven once and for all through the sacrifice of the Messiah. And I'll be honest, we don't talk about that sacrifice a whole bunch. But if you want to see some stark images, read chapter 53 of Isaiah. In plain, blunt words, and I'm not going to read the whole thing here, in the plain, blunt words, what it comes down to is how badly Christ is going to be mistreated, how he's going to be beaten, abused, and how he's going to be put to death for us. But more importantly, the forgiveness of sins are going to come from and through Christ. It was the completion both of a covenant and of prophecies in Jeremiah 31 verse 34. "They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they will know me from the least of them to the greatest of them, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity and their sins I will remember no more." Put that last few words in your mind and keep it there. The message Jeremiah delivers here is that our iniquities will be forgiven through our acceptance as Christ our Savior, and not through the passing of traditions, histories, and laws from generation to generation, from father to son, from neighbor to neighbor. People will not come to know the Lord through oral history and tradition. It will not come from the reading of the Torah or any other scripture. It will come through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, through the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit will lead us to our salvation as we repent and ask for forgiveness of the Lord. That's the important part of what John is preaching. No longer do you take a dove, hack off its head, and give it to the Lord, or a cow or a fatted calf or anything else. You go directly to God and repent of your sins and ask for his forgiveness, and you will be forgiven. Everyone who comes before the Lord and asks for forgiveness will be forgiven. And not only are our sins forgiven, the promise is that the Lord will no longer remember the sins of his faithful ones. And think about that for a minute. Think about every time you've done something wrong and you've prayed over and over again. How often have we dwelled on the things we have done wrong previously in the life, And we've already asked God for his forgiveness. But in our shallow little earthly human minds, we can't let it go. We are told by the Lord himself, we will receive forgiveness of sins as well as the promise that once the sin has been forgiven, our Lord will forget them. And the promise is repeated over and over again. In Jeremiah 33:8, I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned against me and by which they have transgressed against me. Isaiah 43:25, I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my sake, and I will not remember your sins. Isaiah 44:22, I have wiped out your transgressions like a thick cloud and your sins like a heavy mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you. Brothers and sisters, this is why we celebrate Christmas. This is the beginning to our salvation. This is the beginning of the forgiveness for our sins. God has promised over and over again that not only will he forgive our sins, he'll never remember them. All we have to do is turn to him, to accept him, and have faith in him. To return to being faithful to the one who made us all, because he has already redeemed us with his own precious blood. And as if God isn't doing enough for us, Zacharias also tells us why God sent both John and Jesus. Because of the tender mercy of our God with which the sunrise from on high will visit us. The message that John brings is that because of God's mercy, we are to receive the sunrise from the heavens to come down on us. That sunrise is Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Brought down to be physical proof of God's love for each and every one of us. His presence is the sun in our lives. And for those who will believe and are faithful and follow him with their hearts to the best of their ability, he has given us a gift of joy and of love, of eternity in his name. Malachi 4:2 tells us, but for you who fears my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing on its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from stalls. Now, I'm not a farmer. That was completely foreign to me, that calf skipping from the stalls. So I went on YouTube, which you can find anything, and watched calves when, after they're born and they're up and moving around, they're bouncing around like a little, they're really happy. And that's exactly the way we should be in Christ. With Christ, we are healed of our sins, and once we are healed of those sins, we can find the joy that comes with peace and contentment and the love of our perfect God. And part of God's mercy in his forgiveness as we are restored to exactly what God made us to be. We can be right back in that Garden of Eden. Loved, cared for, nourished completely. Jeremiah 30:17, for I will restore you to health and I will heal all your wounds, declared the Lord, because they have called you an outcast, saying it is Zion. No one cares for her. The call of love of Jesus Christ in our lives is exactly that. When people around you cast you aside, when they don't care about you, I care. Come to me. I will love you. I will never forsake you. You have worth. You are loved. You are my child. And that promise is for the entire world, not just for Israel. It's a promise for all people, regardless of station, race, circumstances, put in a million of the other labels we put on ourselves. Jesus comes to shine upon those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. He takes us away from the darkness of sin, from the evil that is out there in the world. He protects us, he loves us, and he nurtures us. And if you haven't found Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sitting in darkness. You're sitting in sin. And when we live in sin, we cannot find that eternal life that Christ promises us. That is why John proclaimed, this is what Jesus fulfilled, and this is the destiny of any person who comes to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Our lives change. Our souls change. When the change happens, it's not going to be subtle. To the man, woman, or child who hears the message of Christ and accepts him, that change will be profound. In Isaiah 9:2, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Those who live in a dark land, the light will shine on them. And in Matthew 4:16, the people who were sitting in darkness saw a great light. Those who were sitting in the land and the shadow of death, upon them a light dawned. The birth, the death, the resurrection, the present of God's blood for us sets us free of the darkness. All we have to do is reach out. Take it. Lord, show me. And I have not yet met anybody that when they've made that decision hasn't been profoundly changed. Because when you're lost and you feel God's love, there's nothing like it. It's like a sledgehammer. You're not alone. You never will be alone. You are with people, with other people who have accepted the Lord as they accept you. And they love you and they care about you. And as I said, whatever has happened in the past is in the past. God doesn't care about what happened. He cares about where you are at that moment, that divine, God-inspired moment when you say, I will follow Christ your Lord. And that brings us right back to a question that remains in this Christmas season. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? Is he in your heart? Are you changed in the Holy Spirit? Does the Lord rule your life? Or do you still sit in darkness, lost and alone? And the only one that can answer that is you and God, because he knows. He's waiting for you to come out of that darkness. He will provide you the light to lead the way in most unexpected ways. He's waiting for you to bring yourself before him, to separate yourself from everything that holds you back in life. And for those who do follow Christ, who have them in their heart, this is a season where reaffirm exactly where he is in your life. Celebrate this week for everything it is. Celebrate the birth of our Savior, of our Lord. But also, if you are at a time, and it happens for each and every Christian, that maybe there's a little bit of doubt, there's a little bit of wonder, take this time to search. Take your concerns to God and listen to him. Reaffirm exactly how important God is in your life.
And if you are firm in your love of God, this is a great time of the year to thank Him for that. Thank Him through your actions, through your prayers, through gifts of loved ones, to fellowship with one another. This is the season where we begin the anticipation of His coming again to us in glory and in might and the establishment of the New Jerusalem. Amen.